Come on, bitch, let's go. Come on, get ready, bitches. We haven't seen nothing yet. Come on. Valentino, Versace, Lamborghini, Bugatti.
Hi, everybody. So I am so excited. I have Andrew here. You guys may know Andrew because he makes appearances on Cheryl World, which is a YouTube channel that does really fun, juicy gossip. And Andrew often goes on that. And he also posts on his Instagram his insider scoop information. And since I'm obsessed with tea, my own tea and everybody else's, I'm a huge fan of Andrew. And so I became obsessed with Andrew when he posted a video about Erica Girardi and Tom Girardi's jet and the fact that he knew a broker who had some involvement with it. And I was like, okay, this guy is into the deep dive like I am. So we must become friends. And he's an unusual character because he's 17 years old. So I'm like so impressed that Andrew is bringing it this young. So Andrew, thank you so much for being on Dishing the Drama with Dana Wilkie. I appreciate it.
Well, I just have to say, I'm the biggest fan of you, Dana. I remember you on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And when you reached out to me on Instagram, I was like starstruck, moonstruck, fireworks going off in my head when you responded, and I was like, just like, ah, it was just amazing. I love you.
I'm trying to imagine you, Andrew, at like 8, watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Did you watch it when you were really little, or when did you start watching all the, you know, the Housewife franchises?
So I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I started off with the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. because I wanted to know what people were doing in my city. So I reached
there
out.
Was there a Real Housewives of Washington?
Yeah, one season long. The Salahis shut that show down because they crashed the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Wow. Oh, my God. I didn't even know that show existed. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. And then, of course, I went through Beverly Hills and everything else, and now I've seen them all. I have a weekly schedule planned out. It's all listed. And I love it, and I'll go back to watch the old episodes on Hulu. In fact, I own the first 2 seasons of about every single series franchise on Amazon Prime, just so, because that was the best way for you to do it when they first came out, to buy it on Amazon Prime Video.
Do you want to be a journalist, or what do you want to be when you grow up? Because you're still a kid, you know? It's amazing.
Yes, thank you so much for asking. I am a very business-minded person, and I'm going to go into mergers and acquisitions.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. What kind of mergers and acquisitions are you going to do you think?
Definitely more business-oriented. I mean, in the retail landscape right now, because, I mean, if you look at it, right now is a great time to study that, too, because we're looking at huge mergers of companies and companies acquiring little companies, partnering with little companies. And it's just in this coronavirus world, I don't even know if I can say that. I mean, when Neiman's filed for bankruptcy, and that was one thing I studied very closely, because I mean, I'm a very big Neiman shopper. I don't know about anybody else here, but love Neiman Marcus. So I wanted to see who was going to potentially buy them, who was going to potentially try to merge with them, who was going to try to potentially save a very reputable department store. And that's something I'm following right now. I live in Potomac, and it is an abnormally large size Potomac home that is way too big for a singular person.
Oh my God, you live in Potomac?
Yes, I live in the 28054 zip code.
Wow. Have you run into any of the women?
Yes, I have.
Andrew secretly is a blue blood, and this is why this is so awesome.
Yeah. And so we've just been able to maintain an important area around this Pittsburgh, D.C. area. We've been able to maintain a good socioeconomic status, I would say that.
I want to ask you, where are you going to apply to college, do you know?
Yes, Yale, Columbia, and Cornell, Stanford, as well as Georgetown.
Okay, but not USC, which is where I went.
I feel bad. You know, maybe I'll put that one in the mix, but yeah.
There's really hot girls at USC, just saying, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, Andrew, we do this thing every week on the show where we talk about the beef of the week. And so I wanted to hear, do you have one or should I offer you one? Because I have one in mind if you don't have one.
You know what that sound means. Ooh, it's time for beef of the week.
I have one because apparently I was doing some research and I was on the app called TikTok. And I follow Jennifer Adin's daughter just because, I mean, the daughters, the kids, they're more willing to post things because they don't know the direct reactions to that. So I found out Jennifer's storyline last season was completely untrue. The fact that Gabby's this loving, accepting teenage girl who wants her gay uncle to be accepted by her family.
Oh my God.
Wait, so get back up a little bit because I'm not as good on New Jersey. So who is this daughter of which character?
She's one Jennifer. Of the new housewives.
Jennifer Adin, the Turkish one.
Oh, the Turkish one. Okay. I like only really care about Teresa Giudice.
Yes.
Giudice? Like that's the only... Did I say her name wrong? I do
Yeah,
that.
But that's your that's do... part of your the fun of you. You always say someone's name wrong.
I do everybody's name wrong, always. So what happened? So you think the daughter pissed off the mom, the Turkish housewife mom?
No, the storyline that that Jennifer gave was like, oh, my Gabby's this loving, accepting girl. She wants just the gay uncle in the family to be accepted by the family. Apparently, if you look on her TikToks, she's a homophobe. She wants to date a homophobe.
My beef of the week was Bethany. Did you hear that Bethany Frankel posted like slag against Erica Jane?
Yeah.
She said you can't play stupid and smart at the same time. Did you hear about that?
Absolutely. And you know what? I like Bethany Frankel. So it was, and if you remember on Beverly Hills, I think it was season 8 or like it was one it, I think it was season 6 and they went to Bethany's house in the Hamptons. And Bethany was not impressed and I was like, "Oh, thank God," because Bethany called her out on her BS because Erica, this is BS what you're doing. So, like, Erica's talking about how she's this, like, rich queen. She's sitting up there with her two private jets and, you know, the Lambos in the garage and, like, very nouveau-rich things to talk about. And then Bethany's like, I don't buy it. The whole pat the puss thing, like, Bethany was like, I don't buy it. Like, what are you doing here? And Bethany's being Bethany and interrogating her, essentially. And Erica's, like, getting all defensive and, like, she's like, well, why are you doing this? And, like, the very, like, Erica Jane voice. And she's like, buh, 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 buh. And Bethany is like, I'm just, you come to my house for dinner. I want answers. You're doing soft porn. I want answers. Like, and Bethany's beating around the bush. And Bethany never did get a good impression from Erica.
So did Bethany think that she was, like, a stripper and she just wasn't admitting it? Or, like, because isn't that what everyone secretly thinks about Erica Jane is that she was, like, a stripper who then went to L.A. and got a job at Chasen's and then met Tom Girardi and became wealthy. Is that what she was getting at?
Exactly. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head.
Okay, well, I loved that beef of the week. And I think, you know, I agree with Bethany. You can't be stupid and smart. Either you knew what your, you know, husband was doing or, you know, you don't and you're an idiot. But you can't pretend like you did. Didn't she go on a whole bunch of shows? You would know more than me, Andrew. Didn't she go on shows and say like a lot of like great things about Tom on Housewives over the years?
Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, me and Tom have a loving marriage. And I'm like, okay, if you have to say that, if you have to keep telling everybody that you have a loving marriage, you don't have a loving marriage. It's like...
Yeah. Do you buy that she, like, didn't know anything about the finances? I mean, what do you think? Like, I mean, you know, outsider, gossip, whatever. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Well, I think Erica fully knew in what she was doing because as long as the lifestyle is there and you continue to, you know, have the two jets and you have the car in the garage and he's continuously buying diamonds, I mean, it's like a wife of a mobster, essentially. I mean, you don't question how he gets the money as long as he has the money. And you'll turn a blind eye to any indiscretion or how he received the money, really.
Well, that would be true, of course, unless you are getting $20 million in loans through your company.
Yeah.
which may make it harder to say you didn't know what was going on. Okay, so I have a question about Erica's jet, okay? I know I'm obsessing about the jets with you.
No, like, it makes sense. God, yeah.
Okay, so just so everyone knows on the podcast, I've been asking Andrew to please tell me who owned the jets, if he could find out, because they were put up for sale or pre-sale or something.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know, I don't personally believe that Erica Girardi or Tom Girardi owned jets. I believe, I don't know that they rented them or something, but you have to be so super uber so ridiculously wealthy. Rich.
So wealthy. Yes. The upkeep, the maintenance, it's not... And for you to say you have two, because at one point she said she had two planes and two Gulfstreams, that like, and Tom, and the thing that doesn't even make any sense is even if you have $100 million, that's still not enough to have two jets and own and operate them. So for Tom Girardi to say that he had $80 million, that doesn't make any sense. So of course,
it's not even enough money.
It's not enough money. So what I found out is jet number two was a timeshare jet, if you know what that is, for anybody who knows what that is. What that essentially is, it's shared with a group of people. So that's the one that they called their personal jet, in quotations, where it's a bland cabin interior, and it was a Gulfstream. It was a 1998 Gulfstream, and it was a timeshare jet that they shared between 16 different people.
Thank you, Andrew. I knew I smelled bullshit.
Right. 16 different people.
I have news for Erica. It's not a private jet, babes. If you're sharing it with 16 people, it's what do they call that company that does it? NetJets.
Yeah, NetJet. Or like, let's fly. Come on. This is not the community bus of the private jet sector. Like,
oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Now, the first jet was available for pre-sale, and that was Tom Girardi's personal jet that was purchased through an LLC owned by an LLC, which is what people will do to buy very expensive real estate. People will go through an LLC owned by an LLC because that means it's untaxable and untraceable. But what Tom doesn't know is, in the United States, that's actually illegal on a vehicle.
No way.
So it's registered.
What was the plane? What was the plane that was in that one?
That is another Gulfstream. That one, I believe, is 1998. And she has gone on public record. She toured the thing with Bravo. She brought Bravo on, and they were like, we have our names encrusted into the seats, and like.
So basically, that one was owned there. Go ahead and give me the rundown on that.
That one's owned technically by Tom Girardi's law firm, who owns this LLC that is paid for by Tom Girardi's personal expense account coming out of things, essentially.
Wow. So that might be one asset at least these victims could sell and try to get some of the money back, because at the moment there's millions of dollars in, you know, victim money that's gone. So, I mean, I'm trying to think about like what the hell could they sell that gets these people their money. So like maybe we could find out like what that company is so they could sell that jet, you know?
Absolutely. And so what I learned was before the divorce, so after the Tom stuff was made like, oh, he's a crook, this divorce is a sham, I went and said on a video, it was available for pre-sale. Pre-sale means it's a pre-sale proposal. The pictures are up. People can look at it if they're pre-qualified to buy it. Which, I mean, again, in this world as such an expensive asset as a jet, I'm sorry. Like, the world of buying private jets is so elusive and mysterious that this brokerage firm had this jet available for pre-sale.
So, you know, I did some due diligence on Girardi Financial. And Girardi Financial was formed in 2019. When was this pre-sale? Do you know that when they might have set it up?
It was 6 months ago that it had been on the pre-sale market.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Look. We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like.
Bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gonna lie.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
So what was interesting to me about finding out about Girardi Financial is that why would you, and I ask you this, Andrew, being that you're gonna be a mergers and acquisition guy, why would you set up a loan company in the beginning of 2019 with your son-in-law, who's a partner in your law firm, and your wife, and for the purposes of brokering loans for vehicles, hold on, automobiles, I'm probably even possibly planes, cash flow, what was the other thing, that real estate, I mean, all the seemingly issues of default loans that he's having, it seems like might have been instigated by his own company, Girardi Financial. What do you think about that?
I mean, it really does make sense, because you think, we're talking about Tom Girardi, and I bet you, him and Erica were sitting back as they're doing all this, and they're thinking, wow, they are never going to catch us. We are that smart. They're never going to catch us. Because that's the mentality for these people. They never think they're going to be caught. And I think Tom started these companies with the theory that he would die and Erica would be left with the burden.
I think that he set up these companies as vehicles to legitimize the loans he was going after. Because let's face it, if he has... I went to the website of Girardi Financial, which I'm sure will be taken down soon. And Girardi Financial's website has basically one homepage and then a subpage for equipment leasing and automobile leasing. And then the rest of the site is like contact us pages. Like, it looks like he made it in 2.5 minutes. And given that he did this in 2019 and all his financial troubles started in 2015, like, what the hell is going on? It's so sketch. It's so sus. Anyway, sorry, get upset.
This is, I think, what was going on in Tom's head when all this was happening. He was like, I'm a lawyer. Let's drag this out in the court of law for as long as we can. Hopefully, I'll be dead and I'll strap Erica with the burden, like with the financial settlements that will have to be paid. Because I truly think Tom and Erica, let's be honest, they did things illegally. They've done illegal stuff. No one can discredit that.
Something smells funny.
So for them to say, oh, we're doing nothing wrong, and there's so many things that are alleged and are being sued for. I know someone speaking in Washington who said they're being investigated federally. They have already racked up 9 counts on Tom.
I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to 18 counts. That's like, you know, seems to be like my own little private tally.
Yeah. And the thing is, what a lot of people don't understand is about Eric, about this lawsuit that he has right now. It's not in the criminal court. It's in a civil court. So no jail time is given to Tom right now. It's not on the table right now. It will be if a judge convicts him and says, yes, you did embezzle money. This is what you're forcing to pay them. Then the feds will come in later and they're going to conduct their own investigation too.
They're actually doing it now. So what happened was, they escalated in the last hearing that was done, not with Erica Jane's freezing of asset hearing, which happened on Friday, but the previous hearing. What happened was the judge agreed to unseal the records and escalate it to the federal prosecutor to investigate in Illinois for wrongdoing for criminality penalties. So that's where they're at now with it. So it's coming down the pipe. I'm glad you're in Washington.
I know. You're getting the scoop down here. Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so can I just tell you some other weird shit I found out? Because it's I don't understand. Okay. So I'm going to stick to things that aren't already out there, you know, because mm-hmm. there's like a lot of people talking about, you know, the judges, the judge panel that he supposedly put judges, well, he did put judges on the panel in California, and he was giving money to Biden, and he only has $15,000 left in the legal bank account. So all that stuff I'm going to table, and I'm going to talk about some other things that people may not know, which is, have you ever heard that he has business affiliations with Aztecs Pharmaceuticals, G&G Skate Corp, Spectrum Molecular Separation, Spectrum Laboratories? I mean, what is that?
I did actually hear about that. And I think, considering, let's remember why Tom Girardi is such a powerful attorney. The energy case, the G&G energy case, if I'm not mistaken. That's what put Tom Girardi's firm on the map. And for him to be in such close relationships, let's be honest, these are close relationships with these companies that he fought with and against. That proves more about him as a lawyer, too, because it shows that he's not really putting a client's best interest in mind. He's putting his.
God, that it's so true, because, I mean, what is G&G Skate Corp, right? I mean, that's weird. And then I did look at the footage. I'm not sure the listeners know, but so in 2019, Black Hawk operatives in helicopters flew down and landed right next to Tom Girardi's legal office. And then they went into what is called the Guatemalan House of Culture, which Tom owns the building and was leasing it to a logistics company. Okay. And those operatives ran in to the building, busted all the windows down and took out servers and then brought them into the helicopter and left. Okay.
God.
I don't know. And nobody knows why this happened. Okay. So I'm just saying, still out in the ether, above and beyond all this other stuff that is going on with all the lawsuits, nobody knows why a bunch of black operators busted in to Tom's property and blew out the windows and took the server. I'm just saying.
What is this, the Thomas Crown affair? Like,
I just don't know. I mean, it's so out there. I just don't even know where to begin, right? And I'm trying to imagine, like, I keep wanting to give Erica, you know, the benefit of the doubt, right? But how do you give Erica the benefit of the doubt when you know she's received $20 million in loans? I mean, there had to have been a conversation like around EJ Global, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Erica Jane, if we talk about Erica Jane specifically, think about the fact that there are two last names attached to her. Like, think about that for a second. Like,
legally?
Yes, legally, too. Jane and Girardi are both attached to her name. That means it's very easy to say that I didn't sign this. And it's because let's say Erica had to co-sign for a loan or something. Say Erica also had to put her name on the dotted line.
Well, let me tell you why I believe that Erica Jane can't say that. She is the sole member of EJ Global. As a sole member, there's only one person that can sign any documentation on behalf of the company, and that would be Erica Jane.
Absolutely. But what I'm talking about is on her insurance bill, because what I learned is after doing some deep diving with my sales associate at Sotheby's, Erica listed her, there was a private collection out of Pasadena, California, out of her estate in California. I have to be very careful with what I say right here, of Cartier jewelry. And what attached to that is the insurance documents are also sold to jewelry at Sotheby's now. There are two names on that she signed for the insurance bill.
Oh, interesting.
So what I mean by that is, I don't know if her jewelry was purchased. I can't pinpoint where her jewelry was purchased. All I can pinpoint is the insurance records on each thing, if that makes sense. And for her to use both names means that it could have been purchased through something that if it was purchased through EJ Global, that Erica Jane signed for it, and then also she put Girardi too. That she
did. So you're saying that
she did do that.
She, She could sign legally under both names and use those names whenever she wanted to that work for her. Is that right?
Exactly.
You thinking?
On insurance documents. Yeah.
Now, you know what's really interesting about that is I noticed that there is no date on her separation document. You know, she said when she filed for a divorce, she said they're supposed to list a date that she acknowledges is like the separation date, which is sort of like everything after this point is mine. And she never put a date in.
Yeah.
So that is really bizarre because it means, I think, that she's going to try to use a date that just works for her after the fact. She's going to like put it in when it suits her.
Absolutely. And we're looking at the fact that the Girardis are asset rich, cash poor. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying.
Andrew, just let me interject. I've been. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not trying to sympathize with the Girardis in any case, because I mean, if we were to sympathize with anybody, I think it should be the plane crash victims in this situation. But
absolutely.
Erica and Tom, the assets are frozen. They can't do anything. She was even asked to stop selling her clothes on Poshmark. What, are you going to not be able to sell the Hervé Légère dress anymore on Poshmark because it's worth money and you're trying to figure out how you can afford, if, let's say, I don't think there's a mortgage on the home anymore. I mean, it should have been paid off. The home should be paid off if they have an ounce of brain cells.
Actually, are you referring to the French, not Poshmark? You mean Vestiaire Co.
Les petites conques femmes fatales.
Yeah.
Right, the French, okay. So what you're referring to is Erica Jane started selling her clothing on Vestiaire Co. And she actually marked it down by 10% to try to sell it quicker. And then what happened was last Friday, a case was heard where Edelson said, you've got to stop selling your clothes on Vestiaire Co. because technically half of those proceeds belong to Tom Girardi from the clothes sales. And therefore they should be frozen for the people to get, not Erica. So they asked the court to make her pay it into court if she sells anything further. And then that was the night that Erica flipped out and posted all the cheating posts. You want to talk about that?
Oh God, that was insane. It was like, if you remember Britney in like 2008, that's what it felt like after watching that. I was fully expecting Erica to do like an Instagram live where she's shaving her head, like a symbolic thing, like, here's my hair, and like do something like that, because she really went off the deep end that night. Like, and it was very obvious. I'm going to post this for like an hour, delete it, and that gives time for everyone to screenshot it.
Exactly. No, it was totally for the show. I know it was for the show.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you how I know, okay? Because of a few things. Number one, Kyle Richards. Okay, so just to back up in case we're not clear. After her, Erica Girardi, after her assets were frozen by the court on Friday.
The Iceman cometh.
She basically posted this like psycho bunch of old texts from either, you know, 2005, some people say 2016, whatever.
On like a Motorola flip phone, like.
But the thing is that the pictures were really weird. They were like her, this judge, right? Justice, what was her name? Justice Trisha? Justice Trisha. It was, you know, she wanted to go to get David Matlock, the, plastic surgeon, I guess, to get her ass fixed or something. And she was asking for Tom for help. And then she was like, I have a bill. Can you pay it? Which is really weird. Like, a judge is like hard up for money. I don't know. That was strange to me.
Right? Like, you're a judge. Like, are your law school debts? Like,
No, but what was really funny is I looked up the plastic surgeon mentioned in the text, Dr. Matlock, and it turns out he like specializes in the Brazilian butt, you know, what do they call that? The Brazilian butt lift or butt insertion or whatever. And you know what's crazy is that if you look at the photo, she takes a picture of her butt. So I'm wondering if the justice actually got a butt implant. That's possible.
This woman, I'm not trying to age shame or anything, but like, she was like, looked 40. She looked more mature than Erica. And I mean, I get that, like, maybe Tom wants a more mature woman, but, like, in my head, I'm trying to figure out, like, why, if this is his alleged mistress and she, and he paid for her plastic surgery and she's a justice, she's a judge. I'm trying to think about, why would Tom cheat on Erica? Did he want to cheat for intellectual reasons? Did he think Erica just wasn't smart? Erica was pretty at this time that this whole affair was alleged. She was very pretty at that time. So I'm trying to think, why, Tom, why did you do this? Like, if Erica claims, you know?
Well, apparently the judge's butt that was in the photo wasn't her butt, because she was, I think, reaching out to Dr. Matlock to get a Brazilian butt lift, because that's what he specializes in. And so why would you take a picture of your butt unless you want to say, like, hey, you know, Tom, could you get me a new butt? You know, I don't like my butt anymore, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my theory.
Like, Erica, there's too many holes. And, like, the way they were clipped on, like, it felt like this was pulled from, like, a kid's television show, like an iCarly television show. I know, you see, somehow the world will change for me. The way these messages were put, like, copied and pasted onto this Instagram post. I don't know if anybody picked up on that.
The reality is I believe that this screenshots of this, like, ancient jitterbug looking phone, burner phone, I like to call it, is definitely related to the show, because why else would 2 seconds or whatever, it was only up for 35 minutes, let's say, in total. So Carl Richards just happened to have enough time. This happened, you know, to at like 9:30 at night to comment, like, receipts done, check mark. Because Kyle Richards commented on it in the 35-minute window it was up. So to me, no way. It's definitely for the TV show. And she deleted it the minute, like, they were done talking about it on the show, probably.
Yeah, like, this was like, okay, we're going to put this all in the group chat. Everybody, are you on my Instagram? I'm about to go live with this. Make sure you screenshot it, comment, whatever you need. Like, I mean, come on. We know that, and now, I don't know, Dana, if you can confirm this, but everyone always said Beverly Hills was going to be fully scripted, was going to be the first one that was fully scripted.
Yeah, no, it wasn't scripted when I was on the show. So I'm glad you asked that question, because no, what happened was, certainly there were people off camera that would, like, come up with strategies or whatever to attack each other or whatever. That was definitely happening. But there was no, we didn't have the producer interference that you're seeing on the show now as they break the fourth wall. We did not have that. If it had been scripted, Andrew, I would still be a motherfucking housewife, okay? That would have made it so
beautiful.
That would have made it so much fucking easier, okay? I would have been like, you know, I would have sat down with Alex Baskin and I'd be like, you know, I'm just not okay with my friend being beaten up, so I'd like you to redo that part of the script. Like, that's how it would have gone down.
I
know. Okay?
I was talking actually with a former housewife, a member of the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C., and she was like, yeah, like, and I can tell, I mean, something people don't know about Housewives all the time is that there are different production companies for every city.
Yeah, well, most of them. Now, Evolution does L.A. and Orange County. And then I think the same people who do New York and New Jersey do Salt Lake, I think. But I don't know any of the others.
So, and I can tell production teams definitely differ from which city, because, I mean, of course, each production team is going to have a different motive.
Oh, yeah.
And with DC's production, they fed this housewife information that wasn't true, and she admitted that, and they were like, this information wasn't true. So I'm taking some talks, I mean, from other housewives, and I'm also trying to implement it here with Erica, because we know...
Wait, some housewife said that the producer told her to say something that was untrue?
Yes. Yes, she...
What?
Yes.
Oh my God, they've become so much... They were... I mean, Kyle, is there something you want to tell me, bitch? Because I never was fed any, you know, information to say to somebody like that. That would have helped.
This person said I was fed information. They fed me information that was lies, and they played me out to be, they wanted me to be the villain of the show. And I mean, this person talked to me, and I mean, I did this interview with this person. You guys can find this interview too. And it's very
that up after.
Yeah, it was very explosive because, I mean, this person was like, Bravo gave us a lot to say, and especially me. Like, they told me things, and it's only because I had a good relationship with someone previously on the show that said I came out of this unscathed.
Well, I don't totally buy that because I think she just might have said that to you to not look like as much of an asshole. That's the truth. I hate to say it because I just don't. I mean, okay, the secret producers like Meredith on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Kyle from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Vicky when she was Real Housewives of Orange County, the founder ones, I could see that maybe happening. I call them the secret producers. But if she wasn't one of the founding members of the show.
She was like a founding member, like, yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
She was. Okay, then she isn't lying, and I totally fucking believe it.
You win!
And that's awesome that you said that. Because I do believe with those girls, they, like, secretly produce with the producers. But I'm not sure she gave a shit whether it was true or not at the time.
Yeah. And, I mean, we look back at the fact that, like, Bravo's changed in 10 years. The network went from getting highly rated television shows. Like, I mean, when you were on, the ratings were incredible, let's be honest. But now, Bravo's ratings, we take a look at Salt Lake City's ratings, they can barely get above a 0.7.
Well, I mean, you know, because I was on the show, of course. So
yeah, I mean, everybody was tuning in for you.
I love it. Yeah, my 10 minutes on the show, they were really into it.
Yeah.
All right, so let me bring this back to Kyle Richards commenting on Erica Girardi, you know, 35-minute post, which she deleted. I believe that Kyle Richards and Kathy Hilton are going to be supporting, this is my prediction, supporting Erica on this season coming up of The Real Housewives coming out in 2021, because Kathy also commented on Erica's like page after that fact, on another posting rather, on her Instagram, and she said, you know, like, oh, you look so hot or something. So I have a feeling that the, like, based on those two posts, that Kathy Hilton and Kyle are gonna have Erica's back in the upcoming season. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and now what I've heard, because I talked to a person on the production team.
Oh, wow. Who?
I can't say the name. I really cannot. I wish I could. And I was talking to a producer, and they were like, apparently the one person who's going to turn is going to be Lisa Rinna.
Against Erica. No, she's definitely going against Erica. I already know. You know how I know?
Oh, I mean, it's been publicized a little bit more, but I found out about this a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
No, I found out because I saw that Lisa was on my Instagram.
Oh.
So she's been looking at my Instagram to get, I think, details on Erica to use on the show. I love that shit.
Yeah, like, I remember I reported on how Luann, I don't know if you, I did a video about Lu, I did something about, I talked about how Luann's son said, told someone who told me that their childhood was awful. And who knows, guess who was watching my Instagram story 3 days later.
So they do that.
They do
sweep in for sure.
Yeah, if they tell you, oh, we don't let the drama get to our head, or like we don't read any of the blogs, they're being better actors than Denise Richards when she said Teddy wasn't boring. Like,
have you seen my imitation as Teddy Mellencamp as a morning DJ? Because she said she was a morning show DJ. Did you ever see that on my Instagram? It's awesome.
Yes, shit. I did. Like,
I was like, hi, I'm Teddy. Good morning. It's time to get up and get excited about our big day.
We're going to go up. We're going to go do some 5 jumping jacks. Let's get up, everybody.
We're definitely not eating today. We don't eat. That's a bad thing. No, no, no.
Put the carb down, Dove. Dove, put the carb down. No, no.
Exactly.
Pick up the ice cube. Lick the ice cube. Good girl.
Exactly.
Like.
Exactly. That's your snack, your ice cube. I want to kind of say a wrap up to my feeling about the drama that has unfolded with Erica and Tom Girardi. I do not believe that they were as rich as they presented on the show, i.e. the Jets that we've been talking about. I do believe that Erica Jayne had to have known what was going on in her companies. I'm sorry, but based on what's documented publicly, I believe that. I really hope that, you know, assets still exist to give to these people, that she, you know, this was a Ponzi scheme, in my opinion, and I really hope they can find some money for these poor people that lost their limbs and their loved ones in plane accidents. And what else? I don't know. I hope she enjoys her $7,000 a month apartment, because pretty soon it's going to be $2,000 a month, I have a feeling.
Yeah, like, it's like, Erica, that's great that you're spending $7,000 now. I have a theory.
Oh, go.
This is my theory. Production's paying for that apartment so that she can film in that apartment for the time being. And then once they're done doing production for the show, she's going to have to move out somewhere. And production's picking up the tab for the rent for this, for the apartment. So when she's saying that she's camping out at the $7,000 a month apartment, production's paying the bill, and it's like, we're doing all your shots at this apartment here, because...
Okay, so they're not. So now I'm going to set the record straight. Yeah. Okay, Bravo and Evolution are the cheapest. They... Do you remember Game Night? Do you remember Game Night that I hosted?
Yes.
Okay. So if I recall correctly... They were like, Dana, they were like, we have a budget that we can give you to help you host Game Night. I think it was like $300. Like, I was like, I can't wipe my ass with $300.
Right.
Like, never mind. Like, what is that going to buy me? A fucking cupcake for my friends?
Bottle of 2009 Dom Perignon, one singular bottle. Like, nine people can't even share that much champagne. Like, ugh.
No. Okay. So just so you know, Andrew, like, they are not paying her rent. She's paying her rent out of her, probably her salary, which I would imagine at this point, she's been on the show how many years now?
I think five, unfortunately.
Yeah, so 5 years would be, you know, she's now negotiating her own money, because that goes outside the typical contract. So, you know, the contract kind of governs you up to about $250,000. And then after that... per season, and then you get a little bump, you know, for extra episodes. I think it's past 16 or 17, but basically what's happening with her at this point is she's negotiating her own deal. So they've given her an amount of money for the season. And I'd say it's probably not outrageous, because they know that she needs the show, and they're not stupid. They function like business people, you know. If they think you're hungry for the show, they're going to make you a friend and not pay you very much and watch you do the same thing you would do as a cast member. And if, you know, but if you're like, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, and you're like a top star of the show that everybody wants you, and if you leave, it's going to damage the show, they're going to pay you top dollar. But in Erica's position, I don't think she got a lot. I think she maybe got like maybe $300,000. And she's using that money to live in this apartment in West Hollywood for $7,000 a month. And that's what I think.
I think Sonya's doing the same thing. I don't want to sidetrack too much, but you were just talking about people who are desperate for the money. And I mean, I love Sonya. Like, that's like, I want to preface by saying that. I do enjoy watching her. I think she's a drunken mess, but I love her. It's very obvious that she needs the show. So she's only getting paid $612,000 per season. That's what she got paid last season, even though... $600,000 sounds like a lot. You have to keep in mind, she's paying $50,000 a month on that on that crooked townhome that she owns.
Well, and I mean, I did watch that episode of Cheryl's World that you guys did, where you talk about Sonya Morgan as possibly blind number nine embezzlement, money laundering housewife. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I mean, I have all the receipts. Like, I can send them to you if you want. Like, God, I've got so many links. And, like, the fact that John hid his fifth marriage from the public eye.
Well, let me tell you what, Andrew. What's hilarious is before you and I connected on Instagram, which is just so funny, I did a podcast episode where I talk about my theory of Sonya Morgan based on your theory of Sonya Morgan.
That is so beautiful.
So this is coming full circle in so many ways.
Oh, that's another theory I have. Okay. This I had confirmed by someone. There is a police car outside Tom Girardi's home, the outside of the home in California right now.
What?
Because the assets are frozen, they have, once a judge freezes the assets, it's actually required by the state of California that they are under 24-hour surveillance watch. And it's not a, and it's an unmarked police car. It's like in a brown Crown Vic, like 2005 Crown Victoria outside the house. Just like people watching to make sure that like a moving truck doesn't like show up and they're like, all right, let's move all the artwork out of the house.
Can you imagine production? They're like, okay, let's get our all the women together and the FBI car. Could you just come in here, park over here on the right, please?
Yeah, can you maybe just move out of frame for 10 seconds? You're just messing up the pano view.
A few people sent me links that she's selling Fenty's underwear, and I couldn't figure out why Fenty was still on board with Erica so hardcore, because like Rihanna's like, I love Erica, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, God, that's so weird. I, as a brand, you know, I do branding. I would have said like, okay, distance yourself just for a while until you see what happens with all this. And I was like, why aren't they doing that? And then I realized she's selling their stuff.
Yeah.
Like she's actually like selling it. Like, you want this bra, click up on my Instagram. Would you buy her bra right now? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I own Fenty because I remember when, if you remember when Fenty came out with the fashion line, God, they had sneakers, and I don't know if I would buy from Erica because, I mean, you stole money from your husband, your husband stole money from plane crash victims. How can I trust you're not going to steal my credit card information, like, or my debit card?
I don't know. Like, I need to know more about what she really, you know, I have my own, obviously, opinions, which have been, you know, I aired out here, but I mean, if it turns out that she had no understanding of what happened, I'll be the first person to buy her bra.
Oh, absolutely.
But if she, yeah, but if like, you know, he didn't forge her name on company documents and shit like that, like, it's, you know, I'm going to struggle with this one, I think. I'm going to struggle supporting, you know, this chick.
This is from my research with this Sotheby's jeweler. This is someone, I really cannot say any names because, boy, that person will get fired. The proceeds, so when you fill out, this is for high-value jewelry at Sotheby's, which, unfortunately, the Cartier things were, they were of subsequent value. You fill out a form, right? I don't know, Dana, if you've ever sold anything at Sotheby's, but ineffective of February 2018, Sotheby's jewelry expense policy, which is basically what the buyer policy of Sotheby's for jewelry, what that entails, you have to list where the who it's from, 2 years of previous insurance on the jewelry, where the money's going to go, the collection estate value of the jewelry and how much you want it to go for, minimum bid price, and an agreement that you have to sign. Now, what I found out is the money was going to be going to an offshore account.
What? I'm sorry, I'm taking a minute there.
Right, it's like, it takes a minute to process everything, and you're like, okay, the insurance records, that makes sense, but the money's going to an offshore account, so.
Whose offshore account?
That's my question. It's apparently, it says, to be determined upon sale.
What? This is crazy. That means Erica or Tom Jardy have an offshore account. Because why else would they sell the jewelry for the proceeds of a stranger?
A smelly smell that smells smelly.
Wow, 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 wow. Okay, and on that note, Andrew, I feel like we have to end because that was so awesome. I don't think we could, we probably can't top that this episode. So I really hope, Andrew, I hope to have you on another episode. You're so much fun. And, you know, if you get something, we do emergency podcast meetings. So if you get something really good, hit me up on Instagram and we'll call an emergency podcast meeting and go through it. And I just, I thank you so much for coming on. And you're such an inspiration at 17 to be, you know, putting yourself out there like you are. And, you know, I hope Stanford takes you, although I wish you were going to USC. And
thank you so much for having me on. I've truly enjoyed it, you guys. Thank you so much. It means so much for you to even say those words, Dana. And I would love to come back if you're willing for that opportunity.
I absolutely am. 25,000 times. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Come on. $25,000 sunglasses. It's not like we can't afford it.